All right. Good morning. How many people weigh at least 3 more pounds than they did last week? Anybody? Okay. Ray, 2 more pounds? Okay. You can hold it. You can hold 2 more pounds. All right. So let's go to the book of Romans. I apologize if you were wanting to be in the book of John. We love the book of John. But, you know, this week, as I was praying about the sermon, I, you know, didn't have a peace to be in the next part of John, and you know, just was praying about things that frustrate me about me, and one of those things that frustrate me about me is just struggling in my walk with Christ. Sometimes anybody ever get like that? Okay, I get like that. So I was just struggling. And I just was praying, and you know, God led me to these verses, and I just thought, you know, I think these would be applicable. They would apply, it would work in your life. That maybe God led me to these verses for you as well, to share some of these things with you as well. And so we're going to be in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. And the question that we're going to ask today, or the title of the sermon, is why am I like this? Why am I like this? Many of you in here would not really doubt that you're saved, but you do struggle at times in your walk. Some of us maybe should doubt our salvation if we don't live at all like a believer. But at the same time, believers struggle. They stumble. It's a lie when you hear that we are to be perfect. We are to desire perfection. We are to long for it. We are to strive for it. But we will not attain it in this world. Now, that's not an open excuse to do whatever we want to do. Hopefully, we understand that. So follow along with me. Starting in verse 15, it says this. We're going to read it slowly because Paul, his logic, he writes in a way that at times can be difficult to understand. And he just goes on and on and on. And it'll take him, you know, 2 paragraphs to say something that John would say in 1 sentence. Now, it's because he thinks out his arguments. He writes them out. He's very logical in how he writes. And so, don't get confused as we read this. He says this, "For I do not understand my actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." So let's pray and ask God to give me wisdom and to give you illumination this morning. Father, we thank you now that you let Paul be so just open and honest, Lord, about his struggles. God, what a blessing they are to us. What a ray of light, Lord, in our battle against sin, Lord, to see that this great man in our eyes, Lord, that you called to do mighty things for you, struggled in his walk as well. So God, I pray that today that your word will give us light into who we are. Lord, that we do not see this as an excuse to just stumble and fall all day long. But God, in it, we see a renewed sense of being able to be the man, the woman that you called us to be. God, help us to see your grace and your love in these things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So why this verse in Romans? It's because we sin, don't we? And we struggle with that. We live defeated lives at times because of our sin. We live like we are defeated. One preacher's confession of doubting God, he says, if you ever doubt God, and he says, not really, he says, the only time I ever doubt God is when I think about the slowness of my sanctification. Now, we've explained that word, but let me re-explain it. Sanctification, it's a biblical term, and it just literally means to be made holy or to be set apart. And so when the person, who the individual, comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they begin a process that is called sanctification, where they are being made into the image of Jesus Christ. They are being conformed into the image of who He is. Perfection, right? That they're on that journey. So that means that they're here and they're having to grow because they're not there yet. Paul, he says, I have not yet attained perfection. So when we're saved, in the eyes of God, we are perfect. We are given the perfectness of Christ, yet we are also working toward it. Does that make sense? So he says sometimes he feels like this process is going a little slower than what it should be going, and it causes him to doubt God at times. But we see in the Bible here that it happened even to the Apostle Paul. And these verses right here may be, all right, for those of us that are in the battle, because it is a battle, these may be the most practical verses that you could ever read. Something that you go to for comfort, not for an excuse, but for comfort in your struggles with yourself. All right? We're fallen. You know that? When we were born in a fallen status. We inherited that from our ancestor, Adam. When he sinned, it passed down to men and women alike throughout all generations. And so in one man, Adam, sin came, but in Christ, we are made righteous. Many are made righteous. And so these are a very deep set of verses. So much so that even the most mature Christian theologian spends years working on parsing out and figuring out what all is going on in these verses. And we don't have that much time this morning, do we? We don't. And so there's a lot here, a lot that can be said. So we're not going to say everything. We just want to be practical today. We want to be practical. We want to keep it stupid. And I'm sorry. We want to keep it simple, stupid. Okay. We do. We want to keep it stupid for us, all right? We want to keep it simple, stupid. See how stupid I can be sometimes. Maybe that's why y'all like me, all right? If you do. I don't know. You may not. So, all right, enough of that, okay? Y'all stop laughing at me or with me. We're going to keep it simple for those of us that may not be so smart, all right? Which I'll put myself in that definitely this morning. So we want to keep it practical. And so you let me know if we accomplish that today. And if it doesn't, and it may not, different people learn it different ways. Just ask me, say, look, I want some more explanation of that. How does that work? And that may happen. And so we want to do that. These verses are too important for us not to grasp them. They're too important for us not to understand them at all. So let me say this as a disclaimer before we get into this. It is important for you to know that you cannot enter heaven unless you are 100% righteous. Okay? You cannot get there without that. Now, with that being said, before we get into the verses, I want you to know what the point of Romans is, essentially, and what the point of chapter 7 is, generally. The point of Romans is that man is completely lost and gone their own way. That's what Paul is arguing. This sinfulness is something that is inherited and a part of their nature, and this causes the wrath of a holy God to be upon the man. All right, so that's what it calls. But Paul, who's the author, shows how God is able to take a completely lost and sinful person and make that person right with God. And he explains how Jesus is righteous and how faith in that person of Jesus, if that person has faith in Christ, he can be given the same righteous nature that Jesus has. Can be given to him. Sometimes we use the word imputed. It is, or we are placed in Christ, or Christ is placed in us. So it is given to the person. And the man that believes on Christ is given the righteousness of Jesus. And therefore a man who is utterly sinful is now viewed as being righteous. So just to summarize that, that which is dirty is looked upon as clean because of faith in Jesus Christ. And this is something that is done initially when the person believes, and it is done forever as the person believes. This is something that never runs out. You do not get saved based off of your works, what you did, how clean you might think you are, and you don't keep your being saved by doing good things. We get saved, we do good things. The Bible says we're ordained to do good things, but they're not what keep us. The Father keeps us in His hand because He's chosen us. Now the point of chapter 7 is Paul is trying to support his teaching that the law, which is the way that the Jewish people tried to live, in such a way so that they could be made right with God by living out certain things. If I do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, I will be able to be made right with God. And so Paul's trying to say that's impossible to do completely. You cannot keep it. And he is teaching here that the law has no power to, notice the distinction here, to declare us righteous before God. And it is also powerless to make us righteous before God. Those are two different things. Hear me. The law cannot declare you righteous, and it cannot make you righteous. Let me say it another way, okay? It does not justify us, and it does not sanctify us, okay? It doesn't make us right with God, and it does not make us seem right in the eyes of God, and it does not work out that process of being made right in the eyes of God. The law cannot do that, and so Paul is teaching that it can't. And he's supporting that argument. And then he begins to start talking about the reality of who he is. So before we get started, I want you to picture yourself in a boat. It can be any kind of boat you want. It can be any color. You know, we're not on the ocean, we're in a river. In a river, and it's flowing forward. Whichever way you want that to be. All right, you're in this boat. You got a color picked out, anybody? Mine's orange. And it's a sailboat. All right, and I'm in this boat. And the river that I'm in is called sanctification. All right? So you're on the, and on either side of the river, there are stony banks. Okay? You don't want to get too close to the bank. On one side of the river is perfectionism, and on the other side of the river is worldliness. Right? Now, we're in the middle. What we don't want to do is veer toward thinking that in this life, all right, that when a person gets saved, they're perfect as they walk. That's a yoke, buddy, that's too hard. That's a heavy, heavy burden for a person to carry. Once you get saved, you got to be perfect. Yikes. That's tough to live under. We struggle, we stumble. When I look in the Bible, I see men of God that struggled and stumbled along the way. Then the other side is worldliness. We don't want to go there either. That, hey, once I get saved, the blood of Jesus applies to my life. I can just do whatever I want to do. Both of those teachings are unbiblical. They're not correct. So we're going down the middle of it. All right? And we do sometimes stumble. All right? But we are being made into the image of Christ. So let's look at what Paul says here. The first thing we see here is he says, I do not understand myself. I want you to put yourself in Paul's shoes this morning. We're not going to do a whole lot of just explaining every word in here. We're just going to simply look at the sentences he says and just the main point of what he's saying. And I want you to apply it to your own life. And I want you to walk out of here, number one, with great hope for yourself today. and a desire to be more godly and to feel like, hey, I can get there. I can get there. He says, first thing we see, I don't understand myself. Now, I don't have these numbers, so y'all try to keep me. If I say number one, number two, number three, make sure I have the right numbers. Number one, I don't understand myself. Anybody ever like this? He says this, for I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Can we just have just a gentle nod if you've ever felt that way? Anybody? Have you ever not felt that way? Okay. I mean, you know at home when your husband or your wife says something to you that just really just woo gets you frustrated. That happens in my household in regards to my wife having to put up with that, okay? And you know, I need to bite my tongue. I need to not say anything. But what do? I mean, how many of us really ever just hold it in? Okay? I don't want to say anything. I don't have to say anything. I could cover it with love, because what does love do? It covers a multitude of sins. But no, I gotta put this person in their place. All right? I gotta set the record straight, Jack. I've got to say, this is how it is. You know, they gotta know where I'm coming from. And look, you can apply that all over the place. Not just there. And we don't understand. Why, when I know what I need to do, do I not do what I'm supposed to do? Why? And that's what he's saying. Now listen. Some would say, oh, this is Paul talking about before he was a Christian. It's not. It's not. And you can tell from the context very clearly how he has this mind of wanting to do that which is right, which would not be the case for the person that is not saved. And so Paul's saying, this is how I am. And so that's the first thing we see. He doesn't understand himself. Now there's more to be said there in that verse. That's where we're just going to leave it at that. The next thing we see is that his lawful desires mean that he agrees with God's law. That he wants to do it. Look what he says, verse 16. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So he says, if I do... Whoa, that's never happened to me before. Goodness gracious. I apologize for that. I had it in here simply so that I could just keep up with the time, y'all. So that y'all weren't in here too long. That's the first time in 3.5 years. I apologize. I'm so sorry about that. Oh, man. As I said, we are not perfect. That was used as an object lesson to show you guys that, right, Tina? I'm just using myself as the guinea pig. Okay, so he's saying that his lawful desires mean that he agrees with God's law. He wants to do God's law. He's just saying, I want to do what God's law is telling me to do. I just do not do this sometimes. So he has within him, because he says, look, sometimes I do what I don't want to do, but I don't want to do that. It's not what I want to be like. Because I'm somebody different. That's not who I am. But I do sometimes do that. And he wants us to see that. He wants us to know that he struggles too. He calls himself the chief of sinners. He doesn't say, I was the chief of sinners. He says, I am the chief of sinners. He struggles. Then he explains. Third thing we see here is that he explains that his disobedience is because of indwelling sin. It is because of indwelling sin. Look at verse 17. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. It is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Now listen, he is not saying that he is not responsible for his own actions. He's just explaining where it comes from. That's all he's doing. He's simply saying that there's something in him, and he calls it sin that dwells within him. We've talked about this before, indwelling sin. Just think of, like, all of us have this one sin, maybe you have two, that you really struggle with. Oh, just think about it for a second. Like, raise your hand if you if you cannot come with one, if you cannot come up with one, be honest, that you just really struggle with, that you could just name just right off the top of your head. That you know every day, I'm going to struggle with that. I got to be in the Word. I got to be in prayer, or that's going to get me. Even some of the older of our believers that have been Christians for a lot longer can say, yeah, hey, I recognize that. I recognize it. So he's saying that there's this thing in me, indwelling sin. He says it's no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. The sin is causing him to do what he does not want to do. Now listen, it may seem like he's excusing himself. He is not excusing himself. He is not. He's just explaining that he has two natures. And within him, this old one wants to keep rising up inside of him. And he doesn't want to do that, but at times it happens. Look at what he says next. He desires, but he is unable. Verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. You hear this? He qualifies what he's saying. I know that there's nothing good that dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. I mean, seriously, be honest. Give me a head nod, an amen, if you've been like, why can't I get it together? Why am I struggling in my walk so much? We do that. And Paul's saying, look, hey, I feel the same way. He says, I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. Now, he is not saying that there's nothing good in him, because the Spirit's in him. Now, let me explain what he means by the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Now, when he says flesh, this is not in reference to your skin. Okay? That's not what he's talking about. He doesn't mean your meat, your muscles. He says, because we are able to use our body to do godly things, aren't we? We are able to present our bodies as instruments of righteousness, as a living sacrifice. The definition is important. Here, has anybody got a pen that I can borrow? I can borrow this pen. I'll just show you. Let me illustrate. We live in two natures. Some of you will be able to see this. Some of you will not. So, we live in two natures, okay? Now, before we're saved, we have not the spiritual nature. These are two circles. They're interconnecting each other with a person in the middle, in case you can't tell. Now, the believer still has his flesh, but now he has the Spirit. And there's a battle right here. This is where the battle occurs. And he's battling and he's fighting. And that's what Paul's saying. He says this happens to him. This keeps happening. He desires, but he is unable. God is allowing him to live in and with both natures, the flesh and the Spirit. And there's a reason for it. He says, I desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. That him on his own, he can't. Now listen, you may say, well, this seems rather hopeless, doesn't it? But it won't be. You'll see. So Paul continues his dilemma. Verse 19. He says, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. This is in the Word of God, y'all. I praise God for it. Paul says he is struggling to do the good he wants. It's the evil he does not want to do that he keeps on doing. We feel like that, don't we? He knows. Look, we know we need to get our tails out of the bed earlier in the morning and read God's Word in prayer and pray. We know we need to do that, don't we? Yet we go, snooze, snooze, snooze. Oh, I'm late for work. I got to get up right now. That's what we do. You're laughing because you're like, yeah, that's me. All right? But we know we need to be in the Word, because if we don't, we're just going to keep struggling. We're going to keep stumbling. We're going to keep falling. We're not going to have strength for the battle. We don't even have our battle armor on. We're not even prepared. We know that we should answer people with gentle responses. We should be kind back to people. That we should love those that hate us or say evil against us. We should forgive even those that do the worst things toward us. We know that we shouldn't think about that sexually immoral thing in our mind. We shouldn't do it. We shouldn't entertain that thought. We shouldn't do that. But we let it creep in, you know? Or like, you know, I know I shouldn't be envious over these different things that I see, yet we let it creep in. He said, I know that I shouldn't keep doing this. No, I shouldn't be like that. And I want to be different. I want to be perfect. I want to be exactly like Jesus. That's what I want. Because the Spirit, you see, lives in him. And he, look, this is a big deal for him. He's not, this is not some haphazard thing that he's saying. This is something that he's struggling with. He really wants to get a hold of it. And that shows what's going on inside of him. See, he answers why this continues to happen to him. He says, now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So he's kind of saying the same thing that he said before. It is the sin that dwells within him. He's not, let me say this again, from the context, from before and after, he is not excusing this behavior. He is not. Matter of fact, Paul had to deal with Peter. Peter was a, at times, coward, wasn't he? It was just to deal with the cowardly part of Peter. Before Jesus is crucified, Peter is there, and before Jesus is crucified, did I say Peter? Before Jesus is crucified, Peter's there, and a young maiden says, hey, look, you're one of them. Yeah. Three times he was asked this, and he cursed the girl at the end, the last one there, and says, I don't even know who you're talking about. I'm not with him. I'm not with Jesus. He denied Christ three times, didn't he? Now, that would be being a coward. Would we agree? That would be a cowardly thing to do. So people would excuse his behavior, even though the Spirit of God had revealed to him who Jesus Christ was, had been helping him, but people would excuse his behavior and say, well, that was before the Spirit came to live within him. Well, John went to the cross, right? John didn't deny Jesus, only Peter did. But let's just say, okay, that was before the Holy Spirit had come at Pentecost to dwell within him, to help him more. So later on, we see a story about that Paul says, he says, you know, Peter, I had to confront Peter to his face, had to rebuke him, because Peter was eating with the Gentiles, and see, they were considered by the Jewish people to be ceremonially unclean. So you can't eat with them, right? So, but he would eat with them because he knew that the law did not apply to him anymore. That he's dead to that. That he did not have to live out the aspects of the law to be made right with God. It was through faith. So he was eating with them. But when the Judaizers came to where they were, they were sent by James, he didn't eat with them anymore. He went over there and only ate with these other people. Because he didn't want them thinking that he would eat with the others. Does that seem like another cowardly thing to do? Peter struggled, although very faithful guy, in the end died for Jesus upside down, stood up for the gospel, beaten, okay, for the cause of Christ. But there are certain instances where Peter was cowardly. And that kept rising up in him. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to be a coward. But at times, he did. And so Paul is just explaining here. He's not excusing himself. He's just explaining that your problem, people, is that you have sin dwelling in you. That's your struggle. That's the problem. It's in you. Now, what are we going to do about it? Now, Paul realizes what is happening to him. Verse 21, he says, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. It's always going to be there. It always wants to keep you. It's always close. He calls it a law, something that is always happening. And then you see Paul's true desire. Listen to what he says. This shows you his heart. This is the heart of the believer. Recognizes that they're not perfect, that they're struggling, that there's sin within them, in their nature, that is causing them to not live right. That's not an excuse, but it's there. That's what's happening. It's going to be there. I've got to fight. He says, It's always close, but his desire is this. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. He delights in the law of God. He's like that Psalm 1 guy. You know, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of the sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God. And in it he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted near rivers of water whose you know, leaf never fails and it always bears fruit. He delights in God's Word. But he says, look, there is a war going on inside of me, inside of my person. Verse 23, he sees this war. You need to recognize this war inside of you. Don't live your life thinking, look, hey, I'm saved, so I can just coast. Doesn't matter. If I stumble, fall, it won't matter. Just live. Or, man, I'm saved. I've got to be perfect. I've got to do everything right. You want to live that way, but then when you fall, you're like, what's wrong with me? Something must be wrong with me. No. You pick yourself up off the ground, you dust off, you repent, and you just start moving in the right direction again. It's a process. Okay? He says there's a war going on inside. I see in my members, right, in myself, in my mind, in my body, in my hands, my heart, my life. He says, I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Now, indwelling sin is waging war against the law of his mind, that part of him that delights in the law of God. Now, this mind here, it's not just our thinking mechanism. It's that renewed mind is what he's speaking of in the context. That part has been made new by Christ. That new nature, almost you could just call it the spirit aspect of this guy that's making war. Remember what we talked about in Galatians? That there's the flesh battles against the spirit and they're at this war with each other. He's referring not to just his mind, but the renewed mind. And it's making him captive to the law of sin that dwells in him. It's holding him captive sometimes. It's winning sometimes. And you know what? He hates it. He hates that it's winning at times. Look what he says. Wretched man that I am. He hates it when sin wins. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He recognizes that the body that he lives in is weak. Not just the flesh part of it, okay? I mean the skin part of it. But the fallen nature that he lives in. Who will deliver me from this body of death? You see, he sees that how when it takes hold of him, when it captivates him, when he responds, maybe, I don't know what all his struggles were, but maybe he responds in anger. I mean, Paul was a fiery guy. I'm just going to let you know. You can just see from the scriptures. I mean, he struggled with Mark. He was like, look, I don't even want you to come. You don't even come be a part of what we're doing. You go do something else, all right? You don't want to be a part of what we're doing? Go somewhere else. He rebuked Peter. He was a fiery guy. I think maybe it's possible, I don't know, that maybe, you know, sometimes he's a little short with people from, I don't know. Okay? I would say many of us in here, that's one of our main struggles. We just, people get on our nerves, you know? And we're like, you don't realize it, but you're a people too. Okay? We get on people's nerves too. I don't know who, but I'm just saying somebody might. Right, and we need to be patient with people. But Paul's like, you know, I hate it when I don't win. I see there's a war going on inside of me, making me captive. I hate it. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He sees very clearly his limitations as a person. He sees very clearly that he himself cannot. It will be impossible for him on his own to win all the time. So look what the answer is. Look who his deliverer is. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, it is through Christ that he's able to gain victory. Why is he able to gain victory through Christ? There's a number of reasons. Number one, Jesus comes, right, and gives us strength. In the battle, he helps us. But even before that, all right, He died so that we might be forgiven. And what he does in the midst of our weaknesses, what does he tell Paul? When Paul is like, I prayed for this thorn of the flesh to go away, and Jesus comes to him and says, my grace is sufficient in your weakness. In the middle of Paul struggling with whatever Paul struggled with, I don't know, Jesus came to him and says, here's some grace. Here's some grace. Now you keep fighting. You keep fighting. He is our deliverer. Now Paul's reality, he says, so then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind. It's what I want to do. This is who I am. It's what I want to be. But with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Paul's saying, I am not perfect. You see that in verse, the last part of verse 25. He says, I'm not perfect, but I'm also not worldly. I'm also not an unbeliever. I'm serving God because He has renewed my mind and placed His Spirit within me. But at times, my flesh gets in the way. It causes me trouble. Now, how does this look really? Paul is not saying that he continually lives in defeat. We know that he doesn't. You can look at the rest of his life. You look at how he lived. He did not. He lived in a lot of victory. But Paul was so self-aware, even of his smallest of sins, that he, a great man in our eyes, would call himself, without trying to be self-righteous, would call himself the chief of sinners. Think about that. I'd be scared to say that. I'd be like, I'm sounding self-righteous. Maybe I do believe that about myself. Like, yeah, I'm probably the most sinful pastor in the world. But, you know, if I was to say that out loud, you know, then maybe that'd be me trying to be self-righteous, you know, trying to act like I was worse than what I actually felt like. Yeah. Paul's just straight up, look, this is exactly who I think I am. He noticed even his smallest of struggles, and he didn't even want that. So he's not saying that he continually lives in defeat, and he's obviously not saying that he is living in constant victory. He is explaining how he actually lives. He desires to be godly and to grow in his godliness, but at times stumbling along the way. And his stumbling is because of the sin that dwells within his flesh. And he wants the reader to know, he wants the hearer to know, it is your old nature that is causing you to do the things you do not want to do. Now we, as believers, should be growing in our walk with Jesus. We should be growing. We are told to destroy our indwelling sin. Paul says in Romans that we are to mortify, destroy, kill the deeds of our flesh. We're told time and time again, destroy. Don't fall into your sinful passions, your sinful desires. Fight against them. Wage war against them. For some reason, okay, listen to this. God wants us in this battle. He wants you fighting against sin in your body. That's what He wants you doing. He wants you to fight. He wants you to fight. And we, as believers, should and will, if you're a believer, you will long to be doing the things of God. These verses are not here and to cause us to say, well, that is a relief. I can just go on and live as sinful as I want because look at old Paul. Yeah, look at old Paul. You know, he desired to be godly. He desired to live rightly. He just recognized what was going on. That would mean that you didn't have a renewed spirit or nature within you if you wanted to do that. These verses, though, should help you realize your experience of stumbling is normal among believers. It is going to happen. You do not want it to, but you grow from those times and you long for doing what is right. You know, a lot of times we think that, you know, the battles we win, that's what help us move forward in our process of sanctification, right? Those good steps that we take, think about that. You know, we take a step, that's good, we're going in the right direction. And we say, oh, when I stumble, I'm going backwards. Well, actually, when we stumble, we were stumbling forward. Because those stumbles, those experiences, they're going to help us, all right? You need to recognize you're in a battle. You are in a battle, and you got to wake up and fight every day. And there is a certain aspect where he's saying, I can't do it by myself. So he's saying, I need the help of Christ. I need His grace. I need His knowledge. Get that from the Bible. I need His wisdom from the Bible and through prayer and through experience. I need His help in getting through this. And so because he's working, therefore, I'm able to work. If God's working, yet we don't work, you know what happens? We go nowhere. Because he has ordained it such that we must work in the battle, that we must fight, that we must take steps. And so if you say, man, I'm tired of struggling with this, I want to do, and God has already shown you the light, revealed to you the way to keep from stumbling, that maybe don't go around that crowd. Don't be a part of that thing. Remove yourself from that situation. Or get up and read your Bible. Get up and spend some time in prayer. Pray before you go to bed. Read the Word of God before you go to bed. Write His Word on an index card and keep it with you during the day and memorize it. These are things He says, look, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, he says, I've hidden your Word in my heart so that I will not sin against you. There are things that we can do in the battle to help us win. But just, I want you to know, I want you to recognize, though, that your stumbling and struggling is a normal part of the Christian walk. It's a normal part of the Christian walk. He has made you to be in the war. That is His plan. And He's also made you depend on Him for the help. Now, it is important. It is very important that you are able to examine yourself to see if you truly are in the faith. See, what we see out of Paul here is a recognition that in him there's sin. Yet he has a desire, an otherworldly desire that comes from God. There's a desire in him to be godly. So God has placed that in him. So you have to ask yourself the question, has God's Spirit been placed within me? Because if He has, you may be struggling with sin from here until Jesus comes, but you're going to have no help. Because you've not been forgiven. Because you've not come to Him and said, I'm wrong. I'm sinful. I need your grace, okay, to make me right with you. So this is what happens. God is just and the justifier of those who believe in Him because Jesus Christ, His Son, lived a perfect, sinless life. Jesus Christ, who is God, the Scriptures teach, came and died on a cross. And when He did that, the Bible says He who knew no sin became sin for us. And God put on Jesus the iniquities of us all. And so your sins and my sins are placed on Jesus on the cross. And He's punished for what we did. He takes the punishment. God's just. He's not going to overlook the sin, but He takes the punishment for us. And so if we believe in Him, if we put our faith in Him through repentance and trusting in Him, if we do that, the Bible says that we will be, get this, declared righteous. He will say, you are righteous because you believe on Jesus. Simple as that. You're righteous. And now I'm going to make you righteous. It's like we already are, but we're not yet. All right, that's the reality. Can y'all remember that? I've heard it a million times in my life. It started making sense not too long ago. We already are, but we're not yet. That's the reality that the Christian lives in. Okay, and so I'm going to ask Stephen come. He's going to lead us in worship. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation, if you've never been declared righteous in His eyes, that's the first step. Then after that, you're in the battle. All right? And if you're here this morning, you're like, you know what? I want to fight a little harder. I want to come down and pray and ask God. You come. I'll pray with you. You come, kneel down at the altar and pray. You want to fight a little harder, ask Him for His help. I know one thing about Him. He will draw near to those who draw near to Him. That's what He says. That's right, brother. You know, you ask Him for His help, He'll give it to you. Just don't ignore it when it comes. All right? Don't be so shocked when God actually answers your prayers. Okay? Because He'll do that for those that are desperate for Him. Father, we come to You and we thank You so much that You are so gracious to us and we don't deserve it. God, I don't deserve it. I know I don't. But God, I thank You that You just are overwhelming in Your grace toward me. And so God, I just pray this morning that You'll just be with us and show us the things that we need to know about ourselves. And God, give us the right things out of Your Word this morning to understand. Well, I thank you for all you do for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.